Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Mark the Rabbit Hole. There's been much public banter between the two mainstream candidates this year. And we even have two smaller party candidates that are making some noise. But there was one candidate who has been silent for eons. He is almost as old as time itself, and thus he is here to represent the Elder Party. So let's take a moment to be honest with ourselves, first of all. Donald Trump is not going to get the backing to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. Hillary is not going to diss her corporate benefactors and help out the common man. Come on, you know better than that. Donald will make America great again? I don't think so. Hillary going to stop spreading chaos in the Middle East? Not happening. People always complain that politicians don't speak the truth. Well, tonight that comes to an end. Tonight the show will come to you remotely from the hallowed halls of Miskatonic University to bring you the stances of the one who is telling the truth, who will not sugarcoat the facts, one who has been here longer than any of us, and who will be here long after we are gone, which may not be that very far in the future. So, without too much dilly-dallying, I would like to bring on Christopher Russo, who is here to speak about Cthulhu, the representative of the Elder Party, and his stances on the issues. Christopher, are you there?
Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you so much. Yes, I can hear you good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Greg, I appreciate you taking some time to help share the word on one of the maybe lesser known candidates so far, but throughout the eons, probably one of the greater known candidates.
Absolutely.
So for those of us people listening not too familiar, can you give us a little rundown of Cthulhu and his history?
Sure. Now, most people know of Cthulhu from the prophet and writer H.P. Lovecraft, who sort of spilled the beans about Cthulhu in the 1920s, specifically in 1928's Call of Cthulhu, a lovely story that's sort of sugar-coated, you know, the inner workings of the Cthulhu cults. Gave everyone sort of a rundown of kind of what we do, but not really, because I didn't think he wanted to die in a back alley somewhere. But Cthulhu stalked the earth when the world was young, far before humanity. Now people question whether or not, you know, Cthulhu has bona fide American citizenship, but his influence on American history has been from before we were formed, and continues even to this day. So his subtle but potent manipulations behind the scenes can be felt even now.
Very good. I know that Hillary has some connections to the Bilderberg Group and the Council on Foreign Relations and other nefarious groups, if you will. How long has the Elder Party been around, and does it function similar to the Bilderberg Group?
Well, you could think of the Bilderberg Group as sort of a trade association of like-minded individuals who like money a lot. And actually, they were sort of founded by one of Cthulhu's people, and it was supposed to be an, sort of an extension of his cults, but we tried approaching them this year, and we were rebuffed. They actually like money a little too much now, and so they are sort of on Cthulhu's list for retribution for hubris. Now, the Elder Party itself, sort of like the Cthulhu's campaigns for president, because he has been running every 4 years for at least since the 60s that we know of, and various groups have taken it, have been assigned it by Cthulhu, we assume. Well, we were assigned it by Cthulhu this year, and so we're trying to take it to the next level and to bring it out from the darkness into a more wider consciousness. Now, the same is true of the Elder Party. The Elder Party, it's been in flux and sort of passed off as sort of a hot potato from cult to cult around the world. Keep in mind that for the vast amount of human history, we've had to keep ourselves underground. It's only now, sort of kind of at the end of civilization, where we can actually come out from the shadows and make ourselves known and be accepted for who and what we are. So the Elder Party itself, typically, and this has been consistent throughout the years, is that Azathoth has been the honorary head. But honestly, a material entity like that really can't be put in a leadership position, because one day we'll be picking flowers and the next day we'll be, you know, wiping out of town. It's near a formality. But this year, we've tried to make it more of an outreach effort to the other cults that have a more forward-looking view, those that are willing to delve into the world of PR and politics rather than, you know, midnight sacrifices and backstabbing. And we've actually made some pretty good inroads. Now, the Church of Starry Wisdom, even though Nyarlathotep is on the ticket, they're still a little leery of religious persecution, because, as you know, in Providence, they had a 200-member congregation, and most of them disappeared, you know, vigilante justice-wise. So they're still a little leery. But the Esoteric Order of Dagon is completely on board, and they actually helped host our convention this year on their lovely spread in Innsmouth this year. It was really fantastic. They have, you know, amphitheaters and everything that you could ever imagine, taking advantage, full advantage of some of the religious laws in the land, where they don't tax free land and all that stuff. So Your typical evangelical megachurch, that's what we've got in Innsmouth. And so that's a solid base, and we are loud and proud in our worship of the great old ones.
That's fantastic news. I'm glad to hear that. I'm a big fan of Dagon myself. And, you know, for my money, there's nothing, you know, nothing more pleasant than the smell of Innsmouth in the morning in the fall.
Oh, don't you know it?
So you mentioned a few weeks ago you picked your vice presidential candidate. Obviously,
absolutely,
a much stronger VP candidate than Pence or Kane is. How do you think he will, you know, having the creeping death on your ticket, how do you think that will help the move towards the presidential seat for Cthulhu?
Well, you know, we took a look, a long, hard look at candidates this year. I mean, we looked at, you know, Yiggs, thinking maybe, you know, if we had someone that was genuinely a native of American soil and worshipped here exclusively, maybe that would work. But we thought he was a little weak in certain areas. We, you know, looked at Shubna Gurris. She is really just not interested in politics at all. So we looked at Groth the Destroyer, and he blew us off. And then we thought, you know, here we have Trump and Hillary, you know, picking these vice presidents who are absolutely underwhelming to each of their bases. You know, the boring white dudes. And we thought, you know, since Dagon took himself out of the running early on, he has a little bit of an addiction problem. And there's a little bit too grabby with the staff, if you know what I mean. We approached Nyarlathotep, who had been already, twiddling around with the election behind the scenes. He still hasn't fessed up to it. We do think that when the Washington Post said that Cthulhu was endorsing Trump last year, that was partly his handiwork. But that's all water under the bridge now. He is fully on our team, and we are absolutely excited about him. When people are looking at Hillary and Trump and the election, they just want it to end. And I think that the power team of Cthulhu and the Crawling Chaos is where it's at.
I would totally agree. I would totally agree. Looking at the other candidates, it seems like Hillary has adopted a plan of assassinating each of her rivals one person at a time. That just doesn't sound very economically stable, I guess. What is Cthulhu's plan for eliminating his enemies?
Well, our cultists, we keep getting feedback from them, and they all prefer, and a lot of them sign up because they will be eaten first. And they tell us that they would rather be eaten first, I mean, for one, as to be the initial nourishment of Cthulhu himself, but also many of them aren't too keen on seeing what happens toward the latter stages of Cthulhu's policy implementation. And so those that are eaten last, that's usually a position of dishonor. That Cthulhu thinks so little of you that he won't even eat you until the very last. And so that's what Hillary and Trump and all his other political enemies, those on Wall Street, those who were supposedly on his side but betrayed him, they'll be eaten last. That position of dishonor and disregard is theirs to reap.
Very good. Sounds like a much more sustainable plan than the way Hillary's going at it, I think.
She's been actually pretty sloppy about it this year. We're a little disappointed, and just the obviousness of it all. It's just amateur hour, and it's just absolutely part of the whole dissatisfaction of the election and why we're running strong.
I agree. I think Cthulhu has a long history of properly disposing of his corpses and the victims of the witnesses, whereas Hillary just leaves them lying in the street with bullet wounds in their head. I mean, that's just very sloppy behavior.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, the cult has had thousands of years of knowing who to bribe, where to dispose of the bodies, how to dispose of the bodies. I mean, we couldn't get away with, our weekend sacrifices without knowing that. However, we do need to legalize human sacrifice.
That's one of my favorite stances of Cthulhu is the legalization of human sacrifice, because it's, it just helps on so many levels. It improves the economy. It improves housing. It improves health. And nature works very much in this way, where the weak are devoured and disposed of, not just, you know, haphazardly thrown about in the street.
Absolutely. But also, this also speaks to religious liberty and religious freedom in America. As a country, we do try to take pride in, you know, how we have freedom of the religion and stuff, but only specific religions. We, as cultists, are not treated equally. We are treated as criminals, or even at worst and at best, third-rate citizens. You know, being able to freely go up to a hilltop with your chosen sacrifice and not having to be furtive or shadowy about it, but proudly going up there, you know, chanting the words to your deity of choice and calling them and taking that dagger and just plunging it into your sacrificial object. There's nothing like it, but there's something taken away from us when we have to worry about the government, you know, coming in and arresting us for murder. It's not murder. That's a religious right, and it's sacred.
I have to totally agree. I mean, the government now uses, you know, their black ops groups and their... you know, secret military to run out these executions and stuff. And, you know, they, you know, the Pentagon just released facts that they had lost $6.5 trillion. Well, obviously that went towards, you know, assassinations and executions and, you know, half-assedly disposing of bodies and corpses. And that just won't do. We're a tech-savvy country. It's 2016. I think it's very important that we, you know, have proper sacrifices and proper disposal, because it's about being eco-friendly also. We can't just have rotting corpses in the streets. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and it's unsanitary.
Exactly.
And you're also...
You don't want to die
also,
in Africa.
Oh, go ahead.
I just said, exactly, you don't want to die and have rickets. I mean, it's just
insane.
Oh, no,
insane. No. You need a good death, and that's what Cthulhu is about, providing humanity a glorious exit strategy. And not one that's done, you know, piecemeal or half-assed or, you know, dying of rickets in the street, you know, ignored by, you know, everyone. We just can't have that. And
right.
That, an equality apocalypse is what our main policy is. Quality, competency.
Right. And if you can provide quality and quantity as opposed to the, you know, very ill-planned, you know, random executions of people here and there, or picking on one little country or one little group. I think having a brighter, bigger picture of the destruction of mankind, I think, is very important, because people like facts and details and to see the minutiae behind the plans for this. So I think that's a strong point for the Cthulhu ticket this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, take a look at, like, some of the plans for Hillary, where I think today there was a report of there is a proxy war with China in the works in the Philippines. But that's just piecemeal. What, you're just going to have just a little proxy war there, where I can have another proxy war in Iran and a proxy war in Syria? Small-minded thinking. We don't need this. Just take over the world. We have the power to do that.
Exactly. I mean, the Middle East has been at war for thousands of years. I mean, mankind is not running that properly. I mean, any mediocre deity would have had half the globe, you know, wiped out at this point.
Yeah.
So speaking of America's growth, you know, one of Trump's plans is for building a wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. I see that Cthulhu has a plan for eliminating the border entirely so that the U.S. world domination can go into high gear. Can you tell us a little bit about this plan?
Oh, absolutely. Look, America is a strong, powerful nation. Cthulhu is a strong, powerful god. We don't hide behind walls. That's for cowards. We don't really even need borders. We can take over those borders. In fact, since Earth is a sphere, we can entirely eliminate borders. Everywhere can be America. Everywhere can be under Cthulhu's reign. You know,
right.
We are... The American people are prideful of their position in the world. We are the world's sole superpower. Let's show it. You know, we don't need to spend time building a wall, being high. No, we're just going to make them Americans. We're going to make everybody Americans. Some will agree, some won't. That's tough. You know, we're going to eliminate immigration by extending our franchise to all nations. We're going to eliminate overcomplicated trade deals. All trade is going to be internal. Let's conquer the world for security, power, and unity. Small minds think of walls. Big minds think of expansion.
Very good. I have to totally agree. And that, I mean, that's a really great point, because a lot of the talk recently has been about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and some of these other trade deals that are up for renewals and stuff. And I've heard a lot of really bad plans by all the candidates, just kind of, you know, slowly staggering to their death. When if we just eliminate the borders, we take control of everything, we can throw in all these trade deals in one fell swoop just by owning and dominating everything. It's a very simple fix, and realistically, I'm ashamed that no one else has thought of this before.
I think that they are too meek and maybe even a little ashamed that they can't that far ahead. You know, Hillary seems to think that, you know, little wars here and there, you know, is as big as American could go. Trump thinks building a wall is as big as American can go. No, we can go big. You know, when we have Cthulhu as president, we have a lot of power. It gets amplified just with his presence and the things that he can bring to the table. Not just, you know, scores of Shoggoths, but just the fact of his presence will just, you know, drive the world insane.
I agree. And, you know, I think he's got an excellent ground campaign going, because you can see the insanity level rising throughout the world. I mean, just a few minutes ago, I saw a news story of a man got killed because he was trying to fornicate with an alligator in a zoo. I mean, if that's not a sign of Cthulhu's greatness, I don't know what is. I mean, unless that was bad plea by the, you know, the reptilians to actually mate with man.
Well, it does appear that we are falling in line with the prophecy of Cthulhu. Are you familiar with it?
I know a bit about it. If you would like to go into a little more detail for some of our listeners, I think that would be fantastic.
Well, sure. This is a part of cult lore that of when the time will be right for Cthulhu to rise. So the time is going to be easy to know, because we humans will become as free as the great old ones. Free as in beyond good and evil. No laws, no morals. We will shout. We will throw all of that aside. And we will go forth shouting and killing and reveling in joy. And then the liberated old ones will come before us and teach us new ways where we can shout and kill and revel and enjoy ourselves. And the earth will flame with a holocaust of ecstasy and freedom. And that is what we're hoping to bring to pass.
Well, I think that sounds like a much better plan, you know, than what we're attempting to do now. I mean, one of the big complaints with the government for the last several years has been, you know, not having an exit plan when we go into the Middle East and other countries. I mean, Cthulhu has an exit plan for the whole planet. I mean, that's just leaps and bounds beyond what any other politician is doing. He's got a global exit plan.
Yeah, it's long. No one does long-term thinking anymore. They're just thinking in two-year, four-year increments at best. Maybe just even quarterly they're concerned with. Cthulhu, most people believe that he's just sleeping in the light. You know, we do get communications from him. Not really like directly. I think the campaign director, Eminence Waite, and the press secretary, Samir, I think you've been in communication with him. They do have some form of communication with Cthulhu. They're the ones who sort of know, at least in our particular sect, his will. Those of us in the campaign do occasionally get dreams from Cthulhu to sort of know his will. It's an experience. I'll just leave it at that.
Very good. you know, along that, since we've been talking about mass exodus of people, I have to say I was a victim of the Obamacare healthcare plan penalties for. I took a little bit over a year off work, and I did not have health insurance at the time, although I did have an HSA card to cover myself. But I ended up paying a penalty for not having health care. Now, Cthulhu has a plan for universal health control, which sounds like a much more big picture encompassing thing. Can you tell us a little bit about the universal health control plan of Cthulhu?
Sure. It's a much more, I would like to say, humane than Obamacare, which really just throws you at the mercy of corporate bean counters. Cthulhu, however, wants at least a minimal amount of care for humans to remain healthy and hale before they're sacrificed or eaten. Or defenestrated, or, you know, otherwise removed from existence. We believe in five-star death panels. So the death that you get is not going to be interfered with by any government bureaucracy or corporate accountant. It's going to be directly between you and your mortician. Or your death dealer, and hopefully it will be Cthulhu himself, or it could be Nyarlathotep in one of his thousand forms. But we do guarantee. But we are looking for a way to remove any kind of like financial penalties, or looking on some kind of website that's down all the time. Try and find a plan that fits your budget. No, we believe that we've run the numbers and that we can do this without cost to any human. We can give you the death that you deserve, free of charge, and when you die, you won't owe us any taxes.
I'm sorry, I'm probably sounding too biased here, but that's just a far more effective plan than what we have going right now. I mean, you know, if you look up embarrassment in the dictionary, I mean, the definition of embarrassment is you come home from work and you tell your family, hey, I've been elected for human sacrifice tomorrow. And then you go and call your healthcare provider and they tell you you're not covered. What kind of nonsense is that? How can you have any pride in your own death when... you're selected for sacrifice and your health care provider won't cover the expenses. Silliness.
Absolutely. That is an absolute shame of the nation that any politician would think that that kind of plan, that kind of setup is in any way a positive aspect of being a citizen of the United States of America. Absolutely shameful. And we are going to change that.
Excellent. And on a similar plane, one of my other, on a similar note there, one of my other favorite ideas of Cthulhu is, we see Hillary and, Hillary get up there and say she's going to stand up for the working man and woman, and Trump gets up and says he's going to provide jobs for everyone and everything. Cthulhu says that he wants every family to get ahead and consume it for nourishment. I mean, I think that's a great plan. I mean, because then you're providing health and nutrients and substance for people. Do you think he'll have any issues with the Food and Drug Administration as far as getting human heads okayed as sustenance and, maybe onto the stores and onto the shelves in the grocery stores? You think the FDA will be any kind of a barrier for Cthulhu on that?
Well, let's be honest. The regulatory infrastructure is going to take a hit. The bureaucracy in Washington might actually be the first thing to go down right after the inauguration. Gru has a strong transition team. I think CERN actually helped in summoning the chairman, I think last week. They are working on a very aggressive and very bloody turnover of government personnel. We do not agree with a lot of the heads of the various departments. And we're going to get some very strong, proactive people in those positions. And we will be able to get those heads on the shelves much sooner than you think.
Well, that's encouraging news, because I think when you don't like your heads of state, I think you should have them removed.
Oh, absolutely. And you would not believe the number of people from other nations that have contacted us saying, please, Cthulhu, come take us. Come replace our head of state. And so we say to them, don't worry, we're coming.
Right. And I hear, I think Cthulhu is already helping to create jobs. I hear the machete industry is ready to experience quite a boom.
Oh, absolutely. Made in America.
Yeah. That's right. So speaking of, until we could complete America's global domination of every being and animal on the earth, how would he deal with terrorism? These terrorist cells like ISIS or, any of these other groups or whoever may be funding them or creating them. How would Cthulhu deal with terrorism?
Well, even though we have a plan to conquer the globe and therein deal with a whole host of problems as we burn across the globe, Daesh needs to, ISIS needs to answer for desecration of a few sacred sites to Cthulhu and his allies. They haven't touched ERM, but they have desecrated holy sites to Cthulhu and his kin, which they will answer for. I think our best plan that we have been working on is to actually hunt them down like dogs, with dogs. Specifically, Hounds of Tyndalos would be appropriate, since there really wouldn't be anywhere that they could hide. you know, unless they decided to somehow find a perfectly spherical room with no edges, they would be brought to justice quite quickly.
Well, that's good to hear, and that would, you know, that would be good for the economy as well, I think.
Well, absolutely. You know, special operations units are very expensive. Training is very expensive. And, you know, if you're going to take out several thousand terrorists, that's an expensive operation. You know, carpet bombing, you're going to be unsure that you're going to get them all. Even the general invasion, they can disappear into the population. But if you give a directive to a supernatural tracking entity like a Hound of Tyndalos, they will get their target. Most times within hours. And the results are quite spectacularly bloody, which I think that most Americans will appreciate.
Oh, I agree. I think, you know, just something else on that same theme to help stimulate the economy, would, you know, maybe have some of these executions like live on TV or as pay-per-view events. I think too that would kind of, you know, to help America get behind the new crusade, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be sort of an added bonus for all American citizens. I mean, I don't think many people would be entirely disappointed that such a show would exist.
Yes, I smell big ratings on that one. And the advertising money, forget about it. but many of and, you know, maybe you could get a, you know, sponsors. I'm sure we could get Budweiser and one of the charcoal making companies and stuff, you know, lighter fluid companies. I think we could get them all behind this and get, you know, corporate logos and things on the uniforms of the assassins. I think that would be a great a great boon to the U.S. economy, which would then soon be the world economy, because we would be the world.
Yes, absolutely.
So Cthulhu has this plan for reducing headcount, and we kind of earlier briefly touched on, he has a plan to eat all Wall Street accountants. Is this an overly rosy view of what can be accomplished? I mean, there's a lot of Wall Street people who need to be eaten and beheaded and drawn and quartered in the streets. Does Cthulhu have the manpower to accomplish this? And what kind of a time frame would we be looking at?
Well, you have to understand that there, of the Wall Street accountants, I mean, really, there are only a few hundred of them that are really causing problems. And while Cthulhu himself, speaking of just economics in a broad sense, he really just doesn't care about, you know, the little pieces of colored paper that we are chained to, money. He believes that we can have all the little colored papers, bits of paper that make us happy for as long as we are alive. But his specific beef with Wall Street itself is that for the last several years, especially, you know, since the crash in 08, they have styled themselves as masters of the universe, human gods that walk above everyone else. The fact that they consider themselves a god is absolutely disgusting to Cthulhu, for they are absolutely nothing like gods. And so that kind of hubristic stance actually kind of pisses them off to no end. So they are going to be held to account, rounded up, and part of the batch that's eaten last.
Outstanding. That sounds like a much more realistic and believable plan than, you know, Hillary's plan of
doing whatever they want because they're paying her.
Right. Exactly. Because Hillary won't take a $250,000 donation from Goldman Sachs. He'll just eat Goldman Sachs.
No, we are absolutely a people-powered movement. You know, we've probably had, 10,000 sacrifices since you started last year, and we've run through at least 500 interns as well. But it's people who are keeping us going, and it's people who will take us to the inauguration and the summoning of Cthulhu.
Outstanding. I'm all behind that plan. We have a question from the chat room. If you'd be interested in taking a question from the chat room here.
Sure.
They're wondering Cthulhu's how he'd handle the war on drugs and drug legalization.
Cthulhu is all for ending the drug war. We consider it a war on mental exploration, and we feel that humanity needs to open up its mind to the vistas of the great beyond, to see the universe in all its bleak indifference and horror. And we feel that the suppression of humans' ability to do this on their own recognizance, on their own will, is shameful. We should be definitely on the side of freedom here and allow people to do to their minds what they want.
I have to totally agree on that. And, you know, when you just look at the numbers, you know, the war on drugs over the last, you know, whenever it officially started, the mid-80s, I guess, Reagan era, I guess, you know, the war on drugs has cost the lives of tens of thousands of people, and that's just not getting it done. I mean, if you're going to eliminate a species of people, a mere, you know, tens of thousands of deaths over 30 years is, you know, just honestly, it's underachieving, to be honest with you. That's all I can call it.
It's inefficient, and it's a money boondoggle. People are making money off of it. We don't see the need for that anymore. We want people to go on their exploration journeys and to see the glories of the universe and to be content, perhaps, by imbibing certain herbs to be munched upon by Cthulhu.
Very good. I mean, at least be, you know, if you're going to be munched upon, you know, at least be in a pleasant state of mind going into it. Appreciate the experience. That's all I'm trying to say.
Exactly. Appreciate the experience.
So the United States has greatly moved towards Cthulhu's plan of total insanity in the last few years, but, you know, kind of slowly creeping towards it. How does Cthulhu have a plan to just push the insanity level just over the brink?
Well, I mean, just looking at this election, I think even though most people are horrified by everything, I think everyone can still conceive of a criminal like Nixon or a blowhard kind of clownish person like W. Bush in the White House, because it's happened before. So, you know, a Clinton or Trump really aren't outside the bounds of normalcy. But one thing that humans really aren't used to is actually seeing a god appear, you know, out of the Pacific Ocean in the flesh, you know, as high as a mountain, you know, and chanting. Usually people are used to just, you know, talking about gods in a vague sense and never seeing them. But, you know, I think Cthulhu, when he appears on Inauguration Day, is going to go a long way to pushing people right off the edge. especially when it starts implementing his policies.
I agree. That would be a great moment to see. I mean, it's one thing to see the candidates we have now kind of get up on stage and fumble about and throw childlike insults at each other. But when you have a, 800-foot-high god with tentacles, I mean, that's a whole other scenario.
Yeah, it's something that will be incredible to behold.
Okay, while we're going here, if you have any stories or anecdotes about Cthulhu you'd like to throw in, feel free to throw anything in you would care to, in case I miss something going over the material. Another big topic is climate change. So while many politicians in Bono and other people are trying to stop global warming, Cthulhu has a plan to increase climate change. What is his stance on increasing climate change, and how does he look to further climate change? And I guess, too, as a follow-up, I'd assume this is for to make the Earth more inhabitable for the other Elder Party gods to habitate the Earth, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, on climate change, it's really kind of Cthulhu's idea. Our particular cult was not involved with it. Other cults were. There are multiple Cthulhu cults spread around the world, and we are all sort of structured like cells, so we really don't talk much with each other. I mean, we know a few other local cells, and we reach out to them. And especially this year, we've reached out to any and all American cells to help with getting Cthulhu elected. We've been particularly happy with the Florida cults that have answered the call. But to get back to your question, decades and decades ago, Cthulhu was wanting to terraform the Earth back to its primal state. It's been too idyllic. It allowed weak species like humanity to flourish, and lacking the infrastructure of other like-minded entities on the planet, he began working with corporations and companies through his control of the Cthulhu cults, and conceived of a plan of terraforming the Earth, which we call climate change. And so they made a tidy profit doing it, and he has almost achieved his goal of returning Earth to, a plus 20 degree state. I think that's the target, at least we believe it is. And right now we are looking towards finishing it off correctly. Looking at climate change with Trump, who doesn't believe it, he thinks it's a plot by China, which isn't far from the truth if you spell China C-T-H-U-L-H-U. And you look at Hillary, who kind of believes that it's real, but is paid not to, so she's not going to do anything about it. And they're probably just going to botch it entirely, and we're just going to go blow past the target of plus 20. So we really need Cthulhu in there to finish the process right.
Very good, very good. Another hot topic, education and student loan debt. I know Bernie Sanders took on that one a lot, and I see Cthulhu here has a plan to make free college available to everyone and eliminate student loan debt. How is he going to go about that?
Well, we are looking towards releasing the bans and restrictions on all sorts of grimoires and tomes that have been hidden and burned from humanity, and making that the curriculum. Every student needs to have the option to graduate as a high cultist, witch, or wizard in their state without taking on any student debt. You know, they're not going to be exempt from being eaten, but in the intervening time that they have remaining on Earth, they can be useful, useful citizens, using their newfound powers or super science knowledge to work with the administration and get this planet depopulated. Now, I'm talking about student debt. You know, for one thing, the banks that give the loans aren't going to be particularly that interested in getting those loan payments in when, you know, their CEOs and entire executive boards are, well, waiting to be devoured at the end of time. So that's one way that we're going to help alleviate student debt. But the second one is being eaten by Cthulhu automatically cancels all debt as well as your taxes.
Now, if you're out there listening to this, name one other presidential candidate ever that has offered to eliminate all student debt and all taxes and has an actual plan to do it. Certainly none in my lifetime. So yeah, so just to look at, there's a nice phrase here on the, I should have pimped this at the beginning. You can go to CthulhuForAmerica.com and see a lot of the issues and things we're talking about, and a lot of great bumper stickers. I like the No More Years one. But there's a great phrase here. Let us make studies of the dark arts and sciences available to everyone. Let us liberate the millions of Americans who have student debt with a jubilee feast. So you get rid of your student debt, you get rid of your taxes, and there's a feast. Who else can promise that kind of a thing?
Certainly not Hillary or Trump. Certainly not them.
Right. And maybe most of importantly of anything, it gets rid of Common Core.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. But we would like to have a Necronomicon centric curriculum. But then again, we do want to leave it up to the state. Some of them might actually like the Cathat Aquadingan better, or maybe even Descopus Ghouls, or Unos Specticin Colton.
Yeah, excellent. so, yeah, here's another topic here, equality. Says there are many places where Americans of different shapes and colors are targeted for violence. There are still too many young people out there feeling hopelessness and alone. As president, it will be my job to target humanity with violent consumption equally. It will be my job to ensure that youth join their elders and my dark gullet. Still hopeless, but not alone. To me, that's a message of hope.
Well, it is. You look at how the other candidates view equality, and they cannot present as clean and clear a message as Cthulhu can. They just can't, because he doesn't see any of the divisions that humanity is just so darn focused on.
Yeah, I just, again, just a little bit of personal bias here, but one of my favorite things about a lot of Cthulhu's plans here is a lot of them involve food, and I like that.
It is a very culinary policy basis that we do have. Yeah, a lot of it does end up being that, yeah, you're going to be eaten. But it's also a really good answer to a lot of problems. You just kind of eat your way out of it. Much like, you know, ending a relationship and eating a lot of ice cream.
Right. Except instead of ice cream, it's heads.
Yes. Yes. Heads. Head ice cream. You do the. You actually could have a kind of a brainy, kind of creamy, yeah, and just pop the lid off and, yeah, freeze the head.
Yeah, I went to the Mothman Festival last year for the first time, one of the, I guess, lesser other dimensional deities, and he had all kinds of cookies and things shaped like Mothman, and he put little cherries or red M&Ms for the red glowing eyes. I think that would work well for Cthulhu's marketing of head-flavored ice cream. Put a couple little cherries in it. Looks like you have red glowing eyes staring at you when you open the container.
Mmm, sounds delicious. Yeah, I'm kind of glad you brought up the Mothman because we do have the Nego on our side. We have a pretty good alliance with them. Well, they're working on a little problem for us.
Oh. Okay. That sounds very intriguing. I'm sure they'll be able to get that problem taken care of.
Well, yeah, we do have sort of a rivalry with another third-party candidate, but we're working with NASA and the MIGO to dispose of that candidate.
Well, I'm sure his time here on the Little Blue Marble is short then.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic October surprise. We can't really talk about it now, but we will. In politics, everybody has an October surprise planned for their opponent, since it's the last ditch effort to finally take them off the electoral rolls.
Well, I will be sitting intently waiting for that one. I'm sure it will be delicious. So, yeah, and another quote here on national security from the website. I believe in dark pacts and blood oaths, finality in crushing our rivals, and a rock-solid commitment to the destructive might that has always made America great. America is an exceptional country that will be shared with the world. We are not a country that cowers behind walls. We will conquer with purpose, and we will prevail. When is the last time you've had this kind of leadership? I mean, we get a lot of rhetoric and, you know, shaming and things like that. I mean, I think it's been a long time since we've had a candidate with this kind of long-term credentials and has been able to back it up for, you know, for eons. I mean, there's been literally many towns and civilizations destroyed by Cthulhu. I think
not just towns and civilizations, but we are pretty sure that he has at least decimated at least 10, 15 other worlds before arriving on Earth. At least according to cult lore.
Yeah, very good. That kind of just eliminates all the empty promises the other candidates are throwing up with no clout to back it up.
Well, yeah, they have nothing. So we are keeping laser focused on the issues, whereas all they can do is just snipe each other with the petty little, you know, jabs and stuff. That, you know, they may explode briefly on social media, like, oh, she said delete your account, or, you know, he called them a monkey, you know, but that doesn't really speak to the American voter. Like, who cares? You can pay a writer to tweet out a put down, but what are you going to do for me? We're going to provide you a head
for you to snack on at your leisure.
That's right, and that speaks to the voters.
So this is kind of an off the cuff question, but maybe you can tell me if Cthulhu has a stance on this. How does he feel about deleting emails?
It can conceive of emails, since he's a telepathic entity. Communication is usually, you know, directly mind to mind, or through dreams, or that kind of thing. Since we're talking about emails, obviously it's going to be about Hillary and what she's done. She has something to hide, and obviously the doings that she was hiding from are not considered positive. So she's not proud of this. She does it anyway. Cthulhu, as part of the ticket of greatest evil, loud and proud, man, just do it out in the open and unapologetically, instead of, you know, trying to cover it up or hide it or tell voters, oh, no, it means nothing, you know. Just be out and say, yeah, I did it. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. End of story.
Yeah, and you know, another issue that people have ignored, I think, is they keep talking about this is a really important election and to vote for, you know, Donald or Hillary, because they'll be able to make one or two or maybe three Supreme Court nominations. Cthulhu will get to make 9. Who can top that?
No one can. No one can top that. I mean, every four years since, oh, goodness, decades. You can even go back into the 40s where people were given the argument of vote for the lesser evil. And Cthulhu for president, even from the initial campaigns that the cults have been running for him, it's always been about, why are you voting for the lesser evil? Why vote for the lesser evil? I mean, you've already acknowledged that you are voting for evil. Why are you just going with the lesser of them all? Why don't you stand up as an American citizen? Why don't you stand up as a proud human being and say, yes, I will vote for the greater evil. I will vote for the greatest evil. I will say, look, if my choices are between those that are just part-time evil or those who are just simply, you know, craven and greedy people, versus someone who is just all out saying, yeah, I'm evil, vote for them. Vote for that greater evil.
Right. I mean, I think that's a symptom of a larger problem, which is the continual dumbing down of America to where we're afraid to really, you know, make a stand on anything, and the over, you know, purification of our language. I mean, people are afraid to speak out and, you know, say things as they see them.
You're getting a lot of that this election.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of shaming going on, saying, oh, well, you're voting for Trump, you must be racist. Oh, you're voting for Hillary, you must be voting for, you know, her gender, blah, blah, blah. And they're just going back and forth about this. And each one is like, oh, well, she's Hitler. No, he's Hitler. Like, no, neither of you are. You're all lesser evils for lesser people. Cthulhu is for all Americans, not for lesser Americans, all Americans. Real Americans, those who want to stand up.
Right, very well said. And, you know, I think it would feel good to stand up and proudly say, I will vote for Cthulhu because I want to eat a head.
Yeah. And actually, we are finding that quite a few people are ready for Cthulhu. And it's very, very heartening to see that as we do much better in polls, as we gain more and more new cultists every day joining our movement and willing to bring about the end of the world.
That's an outstanding plan. We've talked about some dark stuff here, but on a lighter note, I hear that Miskatonic University is supposed to have quite a good Quidditch team this year.
yeah. They're still working on the levitation though.
Yeah. Well, that's a tricky one.
Well, it's sort of a fight between, I think, the science department trying to super science the levitation bit, and the esoteric studies department, which is trying to spell weave their way through it. But I think they'll come to a good solution in time for the big game days ahead.
That's encouraging to hear. I know they have some good fish people recruits out of Innsmouth that should help the team quite a bit this year. So
yeah, they're quick. They're surprisingly quick. You think, oh, the hopping and the slow fishmen. No. They're quick buggers. You got to look out for them, especially on catching the snitch.
Yeah. Well, I hear one of the players is Finnish also.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know. If you have any last things you want to throw in, I know I promised to keep you close to an hour here. I know you're a very busy man, have an important campaign that we're working on here the last few months, and want to thank you for spending some time with us. Do you have any last words you want to throw in?
I do. I think I will give you and your listeners a heads up on something that we are going to be pushing out in the next couple of days. It's going to be called How Do You Cthulhu? And we're going to be running a contest for people to photograph themselves, video themselves. How are you promoting Cthulhu? At least the top five entries, some of the most boldest and brashest people showing off their Cthulhu pride will get a volunteer T-shirt, which we do not sell, and we only give them out to real volunteers. So they are very, very limited in edition. So if you have a Trump rally in town or a Hillary high school get-together and you can sneak in with a Cthulhu shirt and show it with her in the background or something, you will win a T-shirt.
That's exciting. I think I already have an entry I can send in for that, as I wore my Cthulhu. We have a thing called the Doodah Parade here where I live, based off the Doodah Parade in California, and attended by, I'd say, tens of thousands of people. And I wore my Cthulhu shirt and mask this year, and I have a good picture of me dancing with three men, me drumming with three men dressed as nuns. So I think I may enter that in the contest.
Excellent. Yes, we'd love to see that.
Okay, well, I'll be looking for that contest coming up, and I'll quickly send my entry in.
Cool, yes. And so if anyone's interested in Cthulhu and our campaign, we're very active on Twitter. We are at CTHULHU4, the number 4. America, AMERICA. Yes, Cthulhu for America. We also have Facebook and Instagram and all that other stuff. The links are at the top of our website. You can get there easier at votecthulhu.com.
Excellent. And I've shared the main pages on my Facebook page and in the chat room here. And I believe I am already following. Here we go, Cthulhu for America. And I think I'll share the Twitter page here in the chat room and on my Facebook page. So, Christopher, I want to thank you for spending some time with us and for enlightening people to what is truly the greater of evils and absolutely the greatest of greater of candidates in this year's election. And I will share the link to the radio show here on the Twitter page here in a moment as well, so that listeners or cultists or potential witnesses or victims can listen to the archive at a later date.
Yes, please do. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and maybe we can do it again.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe we'll have a little special as we get shortly before the election, and our send a big, juicy, giant ice cream head out to our friend Samir there, who did a lot of the contact back and forth between us.
Oh yeah, he's a powerhouse. Does way too much, more than any mortal person should be able to do. But he does it, so he's a great boss to have.
Excellent. Well, send him our evil wishes. Okay. So, thank you. And we'll be in touch, and we may do another little fun little thing at Halloweenish or right before the election. We'll see. We'll see what's shaking. See if we can get a few more voters out of their cages.
Sounds great. Just let us know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Christopher.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So that was... Let's see. We have a caller here. Let's see. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Did you have
hello?
A question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. I'm getting ready to go on disability, and I was wondering, is there anything that I could do at home that could make extra money for me?
I would try... There's a website that gives a lot of good leads here. Let me see if I can find it here for you. It's called workathomesuccess.com. I would try that. They scour through a lot of the job ads and stuff that are on the internet out there and kind of give you leads and tell you which ones work, which ones are scams and which ones are not. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I would try that website, and they send out a weekly newsletter, and they give you good leads and stuff on work from home opportunities.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome. Have a good evening.
Oh, bye bye.
Bye. Okay, so I guess that's going to do it. I want to thank Christopher Russo from Cthulhu for America. .com. Let's see my list of notes. Okay. I'm going to read one more little thing here. I had an interesting synchronicity the other day. I was rereading one of the Call of Cthulhu story, and I bought another completely unrelated book on a different topic, and I opened it, and the first page is an introduction. Or it's a quote from H.P. Lovecraft, and I found that very ironic. So I'm just going to read that real quick. The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas and infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. The sciences, each straining in its own direction, have hitherto harmed us little. But someday the piecing together of disassociated knowledge will open up such terrifying vistas of reality and of our frightful positions therein that we shall either go mad with the revelation or flee from the deadly light into the peace and safety of a new dark age. So I think that that kind of sums it up pretty good, I think. So I want to, again, thank Christopher Russo and Samir, also from Cthulhu for America. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Coretta Miller will be our guest. And we'll be having some crossing over near-death experience talk. And let's see. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And I think that's going to do her.
Now my revenge is complete. Thank you.